السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. السلام
أستاذ
عليكم.
الرحمن، كيف الحال؟ أمين إياكم.
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and our last discussions are about Fadlu Salati ala Nabi, the virtues of saying the Salat upon the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the bab that we actually started in the last two classes, Babu Man Dhukira Indahu An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Falam Yusalli alayhi, the chapter regarding how serious it is regarding that individual who dhukira indahu an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was mentioned before him, it was mentioned to his hearing, Muhammad aw rasulullah aw an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, falam yusalli alayhi, and he would not say the salat upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. We read a few ahadith where Jibreel cursed anybody who did that, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was saying amen. And the scholars say that these ahadith من الأدلة على وجوب الصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حين يذكر. Those ahadith are from the evidences that show that it is compulsory that when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام حين يذكر, each time at the time and the period that he is mentioned, we should say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam at least, or alayhi salatu wa salam at least, or we recite the full salatu ala nabi fully as he has taught sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Yesterday we read the hadith 647, the hadith of our mother Juwayriya bintul Harith radiyallahu anha, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kharaja min indiha. The Prophet left her. She, after Salatul Fajr, she remained seated, making adhkar, begging Allah, making dua. So in this hadith it said, wa kana smuha Barra, and her name was Barra. فحول النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اسمها فسماها جويرية. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حول اسمها. He changed her name. Her name was Barra. One of the things that has also been said, in fact, the most said regarding Barra, was a matter, it really escaped my mind as we discussed the matter yesterday, and that is from the benefits of a class that is continuous. If you do not remember a point in the last class, you remember in the next class. In fact, if it was a mistake in the last class, you remember in the next class. So classes that are continuous are usually very full of blessings. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had said to us that from the best of deeds, he said they are adwamuha, those good deeds that you are continuously upon them, ala dawam, you are upon them at the specific time. They are from the best of deeds, wa in qalla, even if they may be small. Yesterday, I didn't even recall to mention one of the meanings of barra, and it was one of the most said and explained meaning of barra. One word will take 6, 7, 8 meanings, and each of the meanings will follow the siyaq, the context of the hadith. Barra is also employed as ismu makan. It was the meaning with which the hadith was explained yesterday. But barra in the context that it mostly occurs, and Allah knows best. Barra is employed to refer to someone who is very, very beautiful, someone who is very righteous and obedient to Allah, like you say, muti'atun lillah, someone who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that case, the name was changed. She was barra, like saying a woman who is righteous, or a woman who is beautiful, or a woman who has good conduct and character, and the like of that. So she was called barra from time, because she was a beautiful woman, and she was a woman who used to have good character, nice behavior. Don't forget that her father was the head of their tribe, radiallahu anhuma. The both of them finally accepted Islam from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And it will mean that the Prophet changed the name because it had tazkiyah, personal praise. It has tazkiyah in it. So the Prophet changed the name. It has as if to say, the woman is praising herself that I am a righteous person. I recall that Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, he was asked a question regarding this point. If you say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam changed the name of Juwayriya from Barra to Juwayriya, because Barra has praise in it, like saying being righteous, like saying being beautiful, like saying a person who does something well, whatever he does or she does it well. All of these come from the meanings of this word barra. And like I said, a word would have many meanings. In fact, one of the meanings of barra refers to the nose ring women wear. The rings women wear in the nose, barra, barra. It would mean from the meanings of barra, nose ring women wear to beautify themselves. So, but here she was called barra before the Prophet changed the name. Many of the scholars also say she was called barra because she was a woman who was beautiful, easygoing, and all of these. These were what were anticipated from her when she was given that name, Barra, and she became like that. But that the name was changed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because it includes self-praise, tazkiyah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would discourage that we take names that include a tazkiyah, self-praise. So like I was citing from Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Ibbas, he was asked, how about names like Salih? A man bears Salih. Does it not have tazkiyah? Does it not have self-praise? A man bears Rashid. I'm not saying Abdul Rashid. Rashid, someone who is well-guided in his affairs. Or a man bears Ahmad. does it not have some sort of a praise? So they asked the Shaykh, how do we know the one that is lawful and the one that is not lawful from these names? Even if you say Barra was taken because of beauty, she was beautiful. When something is beautiful, you can refer to her as Barra from the meanings of that word. Does it not include Tazkiyah? Okay, how about someone whose name is actually Jamila and the like of that? So these are Habiba and things like this. Most names carry some sort of Tazkiyah. So Sheikh Bumbaz was asked, Rahimahullah al-Mufti, how do we differentiate the Tazkiyah, the name that is accepted, and the name that is not accepted? The Sheikh said, Rahimahullah, and it is a sweet, soothing answer that he gave, because it will not make us be going forth and backwards to start thinking about why Barra was accepted, was not accepted, and Salih was accepted. Barra was not accepted. How about Salih? Salih is even more clearly direct, including to mean that the man is righteous. So he said, Rahimahullah, that acceptance and rejection is tawqifi. It is something that was based upon a guidance and legislation from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet allowed names like Salih, but he did not allow Barra. So he is the one to determine which name to accept and which name not to accept. So if you say, can I be a Salih? We say yes. So why should I be a Salih? The name was accepted. It was not rejected, not by the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, not by the companions radiallahu anhum. Because the companions, the Prophet would not see alayhi salatu salam a name or hear a name that was unlawful, that a person he saw was bearing, and then he would leave such a person. Some of the scholars have gone to compile the names of those people the Prophet changed their name that you can find in the books of hadith. Those hadith are up to close to 100. The people whose names were changed in the history of Islam from the time of the Prophet, alayhi salatu salam, when they had a name, the others would say, no, change it to so. It happened even in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He changed one of the names, said, no, stop that, Bia Abdul Rahman. Some names were changed. So that's why a better way to know, can I bear this name, can I not bear this name, is to go back in the history of Islam. Did people used to answer that name in the past? Was that name criticized in the time of the companions and those who came after them, just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam criticized Barra? I hope this point is clear. The way to know whether a name is lawful or unlawful is if the Prophet did not criticize it alayhi salatu wasalam, whether according to the rules guiding names, like not bearing the names of shaitan, not bearing the names of evil people, Fusak. This name is known with a Fasik in history. Like someone wants to bear Mussolini, say, no, don't bear Mussolini. This is the name of one kafir who was wicked against Muslims. Like that. Someone wants to bear some name, say, no, don't bear this name. Why? It is known with a kafir. Or it's known with a Fasik. Or the name has Tazkiyah in it. Or the name has kufur in it, things like this. So if it does not fall under these general rules, the second question to ask is that the people used to bear it in the history of Islam in the past, were Muslims bearing it? It's a major guide to understand names that we can bear, or names that are discouraged, or names that we should not bear at all. I hope that this basic rule will be useful, inshallah. That is one additional point I thought I should mention in the hadith of Juwayriya radiallahu anha. But we all took from that hadith that she was a very worshipful person radiallahu anha. Don't forget, she was that one who was fasting on a Friday. The Prophet asked her, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Asumti ams, did you fast yesterday? She was fasting on a Friday, radiallahu anha. The Prophet asked her, did you fast yesterday? She said, no. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Aturidina an tasumina gadan? Or tasumina gadan? Are you going to fast tomorrow? Will you remember this hadith? It's a cousin Bukhari and Muslim. He was asking her whether she would fast on the following day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, no, she was not going to fast. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, fa'aftiri idhan, then break your fast. So if she was not going to fast on Friday, if she was not going to fast on Saturday, and she did not fast on Friday, the Prophet asked her to break the fast. You remember that we are prohibited from singling out Yawmul Jumu'ah for a fasting that is not compulsory. Some even say, even if it is compulsory, avoid singling out Friday ihtirazan from our ihtiyatan. Avoid singling out Friday for fasting if you do not fast on a Thursday. And on a more stricter note, if you do not fast on a Friday, on a Thursday, avoid fasting on a Friday, because it would mean that fasting on Saturday will become compulsory for you. If you did not know the ruling and you fast on a Friday, like she did not know, it would be compulsory to fast on a Saturday. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam prohibited us fasting on Saturdays, except it was compulsory. And to exit fasting on Friday, it will become compulsory that you fast on Saturday, not to fall into the sin of fasting on Friday alone. I hope that these matters are clear. But the point we want to establish here was that the way she would, after Salatul Fajr, she would sit down in her musalla. She will be making adhkar until the time of duha and all of this, the same way she was engrossed with fasting. Radiallahu anha, Juwayriya bintul Harith. I hope that is clear too. So these are the issues. But like the brother asked at the end of the class, and we had explained that to a brother asked yesterday after class, he asked, Hafizahullah, he said, then why did Al-Imam al-Bukhari mention this hadith under this chapter heading of regarding the one who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned before him, and he would not say salatu ala nabi? And we'd answered in class that the reason is that he wants to teach us that there are expressions. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalkihi, warida nafsihi, wazinata arshihi, wamidada aw madada kalimatihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her these expressions, four expressions. He said them just three times, and they were more beneficial than hours that she might have spent sitting there. So it meant to say there are some very brief expressions, but full of rewards. Just like Salatu ala Nabi is a brief expression, but it is full of rewards. And the one who will hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not say the Salat on him, he would have been missing a lot. He would have been missing a lot of rewards. Just like the one who has opportunity to say Subhanallah walhamdulillah, or Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalkihi, wa rida nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midada aw madada kalimatihi, as it's in this expression. So these are brief expressions, but full of rewards. Just like Salatu ala Nabi is brief, but what? Full of expressions. So the way the person who would hear the name of the Prophet would miss alayhi salatu salam a lot of rewards. The same way a person who is making lengthy azkars using his own expressions, using his own dua, would miss a lot instead of saying these brief expressions. Wallahu alam. I searched to find who amongst the scholars who would mention what was the reason why Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned this hadith under this chapter heading. I looked at Sheikh Fadlullah al-Jilani in his sharh. I would not find. Likewise, Sheikh Isa Musa Hadi, I did not find him talking about it. Dr. Luqman al-Salafi was the secretary in the office of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Abbas. He also has he has a sharh on Al-Adab al-Mufrad that he called Rashul Barad. I also checked it. He did not mention any reason. But upon deep look at it, it appears, and Allah knows best, that this hadith 647 and 648, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned the two of them to make us understand that there are a lot of brief expressions with what? A lot of rewards. The person who will leave those brief expressions would have missed a lot of rewards, just like the person who will leave Salatu ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have missed a lot of rewards for leaving the Salatu ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think that resolves those issues. The next chapter will be opening up, even Allah, here is Babu Dua Irrajli Ala Man Zalamahu. Don't forget, we are talking about dua in various forms. Dua in various forms has been the discussion in this part of Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So here it is about Dua Irrajli Ala Man Zalamahu. Babu Dua Irrajli Ala Man Zalamahu. The chapter about an individual praying against a person who treats him unjustly, who cheats him. You cheat somebody, you treat somebody unjustly, you usurp the rights of somebody, you take away or deny someone of his rights. This is from the aspects of dhulm. And Allah has prohibited us zulm. The worst of zulm, naam, is shirk. But He prohibited us from other aspects of cheating, other aspects of denying people their rights, other aspects of treating people unjustly, other aspects of oppressing the people, and all of these. So the one who is oppressed, there is the way to beg Allah against the one who has oppressed. We've discussed some of these matters in the past under the issues on Da'watul Mazloom. And we referred us also to one of the scholars who has an entire work on Da'watul Mazloom, the supplication of the person who was oppressed. May Allah protect us from being oppressors. And oppression comes in various forms. You deny the people their rights, you treat them unjustly, and so on. So here, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned some ahadith regarding how did the Prophet used to make dua regarding people who are oppressive and unjust. Those who are oppressive and unjust. How was the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding these kinds of people? That occurs as hadith 649, 650, and hadith number 651. I hope that we can discuss the entire topic today, inshallah. In hadith 649, الإمام البخاري سج رحمه الله حدثنا الحسن بن الربيع قال حدثنا ابن إدريس عن ليث عن محارب بن دثار عن جابر قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول اللهم أصلح لي سمعي وبصري واجعلهما الوارثين مني وانصرني على من ظلمني وأرني منه ثأري. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this hadith says, he would say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma aslih li sam'i wa basari waj'alhuma alwarithayn minni unsurni ala man zalamani wa arini minhu thari. Al-Imam al-Bukhari took that hadith from his Shaykh Al-Hasan ibn al-Rabi'. Al-Hasan ibn al-Rabi' was Al-Hasan ibn al-Rabi' ibn Sulaiman al-Bajali, and his kunya was Abu Ali rahimahullah, from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. He said, Haddathana ibn Idris. Ibn Idris here was not Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. It was Abdullah ibn Idris. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i was Muhammad ibn Idris. But this Ibn Idris was Abdullah. He is Abdullah ibn Idris, Abu Muhammad al-Kufi, rahimahullah, also from the scholars. And he was reporting from Layth. This is that well-known Sheikh, well-knowledgeable, full of righteousness. But his reports are weak. He was knowledgeable. He was full of righteousness. But when he reports hadith, the hadith is weak. That is Layth ibn Abi Sulaym al-Qurashi. Layth ikhwa. Those who are busy with the science of hadith, they know Layth. This is different from Al-Imam Layth ibn Sa'd al-Misri. He is Layth ibn Abi Sulaym al-Qurashi, Abu Bakrin. He was learned, rahimahullah. He was very righteous, described with various acts of righteousness. But his ahadith were weak. He got some age, and then he began to mix up reports. It became difficult to separate between the reports he was narrating earlier in life and those ones he reported later in life. Even in the early part of his life, he had issues with his reports. So despite his knowledge and righteousness, the scholars of hadith would not accept his hadith. So he is da'if. Rahimahullah. Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. He was reporting from Muharib ibn Dithar. Muharib ibn Dithar, Abu Dithar al-Zuhli. Muharib ibn Dithar, Abu Dithar al-Zuhli. He was a student of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. And this hadith is actually from Jabir. Jabir said, as is reported, that kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would say, Allahumma aslih li sam'i wa basari. Allahumma aslih li sam'i wa basari. Oh Allah, aslih li. And this is one of the evidences that a weak reporter occurs in the isnad. Ikhwa, if you have a weak reporter in the isnad of a hadith, it will manifest in the matn of that hadith. And that's why if you have an issue with the matn of a hadith, if you go back, you see that there is a weak reporter who has impact on that matin. Both of them go forth and backwards. If the matin has nakara, If you go back to the isnad, you will see a rawi that has issues. If the isnad has issues, if you come back to the matin, you will see some issues with it. The issue here is this statement, Allahumma aslih li sam'i, that the Prophet was saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, help me rectify my sense of hearing, sam'i wa basari, and my sight. Oh Allah, rectify my hearing, rectify my sight. No, that was not the dua of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. How do we know? Two ways. The first way is that this dua has been reported by other companions. What the Prophet used to say, as it occurs in the next hadith, hadith 650, from the report of Abu Huraira, that has no muttaham. It has nobody in the isnad that is weak or accused of weakness. The second hadith, hadith 650, the Prophet will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma mati'ini bisam'i. O Allah, help me sustain the enjoyment of my sense of hearing and my sight. What is the difference between the two expressions? The first expression, aslih li sam'i wa basari, help me rectify it, as if it has problems, as if he has problems in his hearing and his sight. So he's begging Allah, oh Allah, help me remove, help me rectify, that is aslih, bring rectification to my sense of hearing and my sense of sight. That was not what he was saying, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sense of hearing and his sense of sight were perfect, alayhi salatu wasalam. He did not have any issues regarding them. So that was why in the report of Abu Huraira 650, it says, Allahumma mati'ini, O Allah, give me time. Let me continue to enjoy my sense of hearing and my sense of sight. So what was the problem with the first one? Absolutely, that expression. So the scholars of hadith will discover it. No, it is because there is Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. It's a weak report of hadith. So when others say, mati'ini, O Allah, grant me future continuous enjoyment of my sight and my hearing, meaning that I'm already enjoying it now, the other one will come and say, Allahumma aslih li, oh Allah, help me rectify the problem that I have with my sense of hearing and my sense of sight. And that was not what he was saying. So the first way to know this is gathering all the reports. So apart from Abu Huraira, this dua was also reported by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. It was also reported by our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. And these asanid are sahiha. All the isnad is sahih. So it makes us understand that, oh, that is Layth ibn Abi Sulaym was the one who employed that expression. It is one of the ways to detect the weakness of a person. Everybody said, Allahumma mati'ini, oh Allah, let me continuously enjoy my sight and my hearing. He comes to say, oh Allah, help me to rectify my sight and my hearing. Do you understand? Because they are now reporting a loves of dua from the Prophet that is tawqifi, it has to come like that. So when there's an error, it will be quickly determined. And that error is as a result of who? Layth ibn Abi Sulaym, who is a weak reporter in the isnad. I hope that it's a very technical thing. The scholars of hadith, they gather all the hadith. They start looking at it painstakingly. From there, they will determine the reporter who is reporting with a slight error, the reporter who is reporting with huge error, and the reporter who has actually conformed with other reliable reporters in his hadith. And for a reporter to report a hadith different from the way reliable reporters have reported it is from the sign of his own weakness. So all others say, Allahumma mati'ini. He said, Allahumma aslih li. Oh Allah, help me rectify it, as if he is diseased. But what he actually said is that, Allahumma mati'ini, Allah, let me continue to enjoy my sense of sight and my sense of hearing. I hope that we understand that dua, we always say it, the report of Abdullah ibn Umar. I always read it a lot when we have classes, very lengthy hadiths. But inside it, it said, Allahumma mat'ina bi asma'ina wa basarina wa quwwatina ma baqaytana. I'm sure you would have heard me say this dua a lot. I read it a lot because it is very, very comprehensive. At the beginning, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, each time the Prophet had a lesson, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Umar said, Qallama kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yakumu min majlisin hatta yad'u bi ha'ula'i da'wat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qallama yakumu min majlisin. It is very strange for him to stand from a majlis, from a sitting with his companions, until he makes that dua. In very few occasions will the Prophet have a sitting with the companions, until, except that you hear him make that dua. That's why I usually make it at the end of gatherings. Why? The Prophet always make it at the end of gatherings. What is that? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would say, Allahumma qasim lana min khashiyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik. ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما بقيتنا واجعلها الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا. This dua is lengthy. The Prophet always said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why I usually say it, whether at the end of lessons, at the end of lectures, when we gather, we want to depart, we always say that dua, because the Prophet always said. But the point of reference here is that in it, it says, Allahumma mati'ina bi asma'ina. O Allah, grant us enjoyment, grant us ease to enjoy bi asma'ina, our sense of hearing. Wabusarina, our sense of sight, wakuwatina, and our physical strength, mabukaitana, for as long as you make us be alive, don't let our senses leave us away. For as long as we are alive, kuwatuna, our strength of body, our sight, our sense of hearing, mati'ina biasmaina, O Allah, grant us enjoyment with it. Let us be able to use it for your sake. Reading the Quran, listening to lectures, making nawafil with the strength we have, making tawaf, making sujood, making fasting, and all of these. I know old people, very old, they still fasted Ramadan complete, well close to 100. They are still fasting the entirety of Ramadan. They are still slaughtering rams in Eid, struggling even to go for Umrah and Hajj if they find an opportunity. This is from the strength they still have. If you make this dua, may Allah accept it for all of us. Allahumma mat'ina bi asma'ina wa busarina wa quwwatina ma buqaytana. This is the report of Ibn Umar. What did he say? Mat'ina bi asma'ina. In the report of Abu Huraira, it says, Allahumma, which is 650, said, Allahumma mat'ini bi sam'i wa basari. But in that report, the first one from Jabir ibn Abdullah, it said, Allahumma aslih li sam'i wa basari. Oh Allah, help me rectify my hearing and my sense of sight. This shows that there's a report, there's an issue regarding this report. I hope that this explanation is clear, bismillah. So it says, Allahumma aslih li sam'i wa basari. We are reading from Hadith 649 again now. We said that this expression is a faulty expression. Why? There's a faulty reporter in the isnad. Well, who is that? Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. And this is one of the evidences that he was a weak reporter. Everybody reported Mati'ini. He is reporting what? Aslih li. And the difference between the two expressions is clear. He said, Waj'alhuma al-warithayn minni. O Allah, make my sense of hearing and my sense of sight, let them be with me till I pass away. Let me pass away and they are still there. وانصرني انصرني على من ظلمني. او الله انصرني. او الله help me على من ظلمني against anyone who treats me unjustly. It's just a dua. It's not mentioning any particular person's name. Allahumma ansurni ala man zalamani. Oh Allah, help me against anyone who does what? Who treats me unjustly? Who oppresses me? Who aggresses against me? Wa arini minhu tha'ari. Let me see in him that you have actually taken a revenge for me against him. Let me see what you have done to him because he was aggressing against me. Let me see the repercussions of his aggression against me from what you will do to him. Let me see it in him. So this was the dua. But like we said, this expression, the dua, is weak. Let us come to Hadith 650 so that we get it clearly and with a strong isnad. In 650, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported it from his Shaykh Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzakiko. So he said, Haddathana Musa, Qala Haddathana Hammadun, Am Muhammadin ibn Amr, An Abi Salama, An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, Qal, Kana Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama yaqul, Allahumma matti'ni bisam'i wa basari, Waj'alhuma al-waritha minni, وانصرني على عدوي وأرني منه ثأري. الإمام البخاري reported it from his Shaykh Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzaki, who was a student of Hammad ibn Salama. We know Hammad, rahimahullah. We've read a number of his ahadith. Hammad ibn Salama, he was a righteous scholar of Sunnah bi-idhnillah. He was reporting from Abu Abdullah al-Ansari, Muhammad ibn Amr, very eminent person amongst the Tabi'un, and Abi Salama. Abu Salama, we know him, is the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Abu Salama ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He was a known student of Abu Huraira. Look at this isnad. Very clean. Very clean. Very righteous. Very learned and accurate reporters of hadith. Rahimahumullah. They say here that the Prophet said, Kana Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would say, Allahumma mati'ni bisam'i wa basari. Oh Allah, help me sustain my enjoyment of my sense of hearing, sam'i wa basari, and my sense of sight. These are things that we enjoy, ikhwah. Don't we enjoy our sight? Don't we enjoy our hearing? Look at this lesson. As we look at our books, we are listening with our ears. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this ability for the entirety of life. We beg Him to grant us this ability for the entirety of life. Make us be able to read with our eyes. Make us be able to listen with our ears. And like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say, وَاجْعَلْهُمَا الْوَارِثَ مِنِّي. Oh Allah, make the two of them, make me be the one who will inherit them. That is, keep them for me until I will die. Keep the two, our sight and our hearing, Allah. Make us enjoy them till death. Then he said, Wansurni ala aduwi. Help me ala aduwi. Help me against anyone who takes me for an enemy. Especially if taking him or taking us for an enemy is because of our deen. Allah, help me against them. There are people who, because of your deen, sunnah, this, they take you for an enemy. They want you down. They want you down. One woman, she's now elderly. She was saying to me one day that she heard somebody cursing another person. Say, they are just talking sooner. These kinds of people, May Allah protect us against them. They hate us because of our religion, Islam. If you are not upon your deen as you are today, they will like you. These kinds of people. Wansurni ala aduwi. May Allah grant us help and support over these kinds of persons. Wa arini min huthari. When you reward him with the repercussions of his deeds against me, let me see it. Because every deed has its own repercussion. Every deed has its own repercussion. Abu Lahab hated the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet gathered the people and asked them, who am I amongst you? So you are truthful. If I say an army is coming from here, will you believe? They say yes. If I say an enemy is coming from here, will you believe? They said yes. He said, Taib, Allah has told me to invite you to worship him alone. Abu Lahab said, Amma da'awtana li ghayri hadha ya Muhammad. Tabban laka ya Muhammad. Shouldn't you have invited us to something else apart from this, O Muhammad? Tabban laka. May you be accursed. What did that bring to him? It bring to him a curse from Allah. What was it? Tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab. The same thing Fir'aun. Fir'aun hated Musa and Harun, and that brought him perdition and destruction. The same thing Shaitan himself. His hate against Adam brought him into perdition. From the lessons here is, avoid disliking people because of their deen. You can have personal issues with people. You have a disagreement amongst you as friends. But don't let it be that what you hate about him is because he or she is practicing something that is established from the religion of Islam. If he's a person who says this dua a lot, wallahi, you are just wasting your time, because Allah will help him against you. And you are going to see, he is going to see the repercussions of your hatred against him by the rewards that Allah will do to you. I don't want to say the revenge. Your reward for your hating him because of his deen, he will see it in you. That look at the people abusing us yesterday because we stuck to the sunnah. Look at them today, where are they? And we have seen a lot of things like this. People who used to curse and abuse people because they chose to be steadfast upon the religion. They usually don't end well too. Many cases, ikhwa, many cases. So the warning is from two sides. Don't hate a person because he is upon the sunnah. He insists this is the right thing to do. You say you hate him, and you know what he's doing is right. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Many times, if it's a person who says this kind of dua well, he is going to see the end of you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Allahumma mat'ini bi sam'i wa basari. Oh Allah, grant me long life to enjoy my hearing and my sight, to make good use of them for your sake. Because that is the meaning of at-tamattu' bihima. Enjoying the two of them is when we employ them for righteousness. May Allah grant us this for the rest of our lives. وَاجْعَلْهُمَا الْوَارِثَ مِنِّي. Oh Allah, these two, my hearing and my sight, let me be the one who will inherit them. That is, I will die and they are still there. May Allah grant us this. وَانْصُرْنِي عَلَىٰ عَدُوِّي. This is the point of reference. Oh Allah, help me against people who take me for an enemy. وَأَرِنِي مِنْهُ ثَأَرِي. Oh Allah, show to me in him the repercussions of his hatred against me. Let me see. This was the person who hated me. Let me see the end of him. like Banu Israel saw the end of Firaun, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the end of Abu Lahab, like Musa alayhi salatu salam and Harun, Banu Israel. Allah destroyed them. Wahum yanzurun. They were in their eyes like this. They were looking at them. The same thing. Adam saw the end of Shaitan. So Allah, those who take us for enemy because of our deen, grant us the ability to see their end, to see what you do with them. This is this dua. It also occurs in that one that I always say, Allahumma matina bi asma'ina. That one is a report of Abdullah ibn Umar Ko. Allahumma matina bi asma'ina wa absarina wa quwwatina ma ahyaitana waj'alhu al-waritha minna waj'al sa'rana ala man zalamana. Let us see the repercussion of his hate. Let us see what you will do to that person for hating us. We will see it on them. وَانْسُنَّ عَلَى مَنْ عَدَانَا. O Allah, help us against those who take us for enemies. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. O Allah, don't place our trials in our religion. The strength we have is our deen, ikhwa. Our strength, our relevance, our importance. Wallahi, it's our Islam. If a person has a problem with his religion, then he has problems. You are fighting a war with your enemy. You want to strike him with a nuclear weapon, if you have. And then the nuclear reactor is not working. The propellants are not working. That's a problem. In the middle of a war, you want to fire a missile, and the missile launcher is not working. That is wahala. So our own deen is the strength we have. We beg Allah not to make our corruption, our problem, to be inside our religion. Because once a person has his fitna inside his religion, the entirety of his life is in trouble. What will he employ against Shaitan? What will he employ against his enemies? What? He lost everything. What is it with which he will seek strength from Allah? So that's why the Prophet will make that dua. La taj'al musibatana fi dinina. Wa la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina. Don't make us people who all he knows is dunya. Wa la mablagha ilmina. Don't make the dunya a thing that we don't know anything apart from. Akbar ham is the biggest objective. Mablagha ilm is the person does not know any other thing except dunya. As long as umamuwa, I will do it. No matter that matter. Don't make us people like this. May Allah protect us. We can go on explaining that hadith, but I think the part of it that we have explained suffices for what we are upon. That Allahumma matina bi asma'ina wa busarina wa kuwatina ma ahyaitana waj'alhu al-waritha minna waj'al sa'rana ala man zalamana. Let us see the repercussions, our revenge, your revenge for us against those who take us for enemies. Show us that you have actually defended us against them. The Prophet used to make this dua. Ikhwa, I know a brother for almost 20 years now. In his tahiyya, this dua of Abdullah ibn Umar is what he will say. In tahiyya before ending salat, that time when dua is accepted, he is always saying this dua. So he will tell the people, don't do zulm to me. I have one dua that I'm doing. If you make zulm to me, you will carry it by your head. He's been like that for almost 20 years. Say, so don't cheat me. Don't oppress me. Don't even think that you want to cheat me. Why? I have one dua that I'm making. If you attempt to cheat me, your business will fall. I will see you that Allah will punish you. So may Allah protect us. It's good for us to make this dua. I will see your end. If you are oppressing me, aggressing me, cheating me, plotting against, I will see your end. So ikhwa, let us stick to this dua. May Allah protect all of us. in Hadith 651. I hope we read that Hadith and end this chapter, inshallah. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا علي بن عبد الله قال حدثنا مروان بن معاوية قال حدثنا سعد بن طارق بن أسيم الأشجعي قال حدثني أبي قال كنا نغدو إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيجيء الرجل وتجيء المرأة ويقول يا رسول الله كيف أقول إذا صليت فيقول قل اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني واهدني وارزقني فقد جمعت لك دنياك وآخرتك. الإمام البخاري in Hadith 651, we are under the chapter دعاء الرجل على من ظلمه. A man's making dua against the person who becomes unjust to him. Here it said, حَدَّثَنَا عَلِيُّ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ, that is Ali ibn al-Madini, the one from whom he took Hadith 647. He is Ali ibn Abdullah ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah. He said, حَدَّثَنَا مَرْوَانِ بْنُ مُعَاوِيَا, that is Abu Abdullah al-Kufi, Marwan ibn Muawiyah. He said, حَدَّثَنَا سَعْدُ, Sa'd ibn Tariq. Sa'd ibn Tariq, he was well known with his kunya Abu Malik al-Ashja'i. Abu Malik al-Ashja'i, his real name was Sa'd ibn Tariq, and his father was Tariq ibn Ashim. Tariq ibn Ashim, who said, حَدَّثَنِي أَبِي, that is Tariq ibn Ashim. Sa'd ibn Tariq said, حَدَّثَنِي أَبِي, Tariq ibn Ashim al-Ashja'i, who said, he was a companion, radiyallahu anhu, كُنَّا نَغُدُوا إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰهُ وَسَلَّمُ. In the morning after Salatul Fajr, before sunrise, he said, نَغُدُوا, in the morning, before sunrise, after Salatul Fajr, very early in the morning, we will go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَجِيءُ الرَّجُلُ وَتَجِيءُ الْمَرْأَةُ. يَجِيءُ الرَّجُلُ, men will come. وَتَجِيءُ الْمَرْأَةُ, some women too will come. In the morning, everybody after Fajr is that we go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of lessons, maybe in the masjid, discuss explaining religion, we would go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fayakul, who would ask him, ya Rasulallah, kayfa akulu idha sallaytu, how, what should I say, idha sallaytu, that is, what should I say if I make dua? Don't forget that the basic meaning of salla is what, da'a. So when he commanded him in the Quran, وَصَلِّ قُزْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ فَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ بِهَا وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ, he said, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, صَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, make dua for them. He didn't say make salat, no. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ, your salat for them, meaning your dua for them. So salat is dua. Basic meaning of the word salat is what? Dua. So they were asking the Prophet, كَيْفَ أَقُولُ إِذَا صَلَّيْتُ, what would I say when I make dua? فَيَقُولُ, the Prophet would say to the people who came to him. Some scholars say this is meaning that go to your scholars of Sunnah and ask for dua. You have a learned person of Sunnah, meet him, ask him for dua. Oh Abu Fulan, oh Sheikh Fulan, I have so issue. Do I have a dua from the Prophet regarding it? He teaches you a dua. There are a lot of ahadith on this. When we were on Kitabu al-Isti'adha or Kitabu al-Mu'awwidhat in Sunan Nasa'i, there are a number of cases where people go to the Prophet and say some, teach me one dua that I will be making. Teach me one dua that I will be making. So here it's clear to the same thing. People will go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him, teach us dua, teach us something to say, to ask Allah. And the Prophet will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ighfir li warhamni. Oh Allah, ighfir li, forgive me. Warhamni, show mercy on me, oh Allah. Wahdini, guide me. Warzukni, provide for me, grant me rizq, grant me sustenance. When you say this, فَقَدْ جَمَعَتْ لَكَ دُنْيَاكَ وَآخِرَتَكَ. This your salat, this your dua. جَمَعَتْ لَكَ دُنْيَاكَ. It has gathered for you everything about life, وَآخِرَتَكَ, and everything about hereafter. Why? You are saying اغفرلي, you are getting forgiveness, so you don't have problem in the hereafter. وَرْحَمْنِي, you are asking for him to show you mercy in this world and hereafter. Wahdini, guide me. You are securing your hereafter. And your dunya, because everything you do will be upon the guidance from Allah. Warzukni, provide me rizq, provide me sustenance. In these four, you have asked Allah for what you want. And the other side of the coin is that you are also running away from oppression from anybody. If Allah guides you, there is nothing that someone who wants to oppress you will do. If Allah provides you rizq, there is nobody who will oppress you. Once you have rizq, you have wealth with you, nobody will oppress you. You are guided, nobody will oppress you. Allah is forgiving you, nobody will oppress you. Allah has his mercy, his compassion fully upon you, nobody will oppress you. All the oppression would have been taken away by Allah's forgiving you, by Allah's showering you mercy, because sometimes it may be from trials from Allah that you are suffering oppression from somebody who is oppressed. Maybe a trial. So if you say Arhamni, you have removed that trial, you have removed that oppression. Wahadini, guide me. You are not misled by anyone who wants to deliberately mislead you. Warzuqni, one of the things people oppress people with is money. You're already begging Allah, give me wealth, give me money, give me sustenance. Let me not need to depend on anybody. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do this, you are assuring, you are guaranteeing yourself good life in this world, good life in the hereafter. And with all of this, if you get them, Allah has protected you against any oppressor. Your risk is there. You are guided. You are forgiven. You have Allah's mercy. What is remaining? You have everything. So oppression will go away. So what follows it? It says, Haddathana Ali. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Ali ibn al-Madini also said to us that Sulaiman ibn Hayyan. So in the first report in 651, Ali ibn al-Madini reported from Marwan ibn Muawiyah. And in the one that followed, he reported it from Sulaiman ibn Hayyan, who said, Haddathana Abu Malik, with the same isnad. The difference is Marwan ibn Muawiyah and Sulaiman ibn Hayyan. In the report of Sulaiman ibn Hayyan, Lam yadhkur idha sallaita. He did not say that idha sallaitu. He did not say, they will say, when I make dua, what should I say? We only come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he teaches us that. He did not say that they were the one who would ask. But in the report we read, he said they would ask. The other one would just say, we used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he taught us this. There is no tadad, there is no contradiction. One of them said they came and he taught us. The other one added that we used to ask and he would teach us. Sometimes perhaps they asked and sometimes they did not ask. Or that the one who did not report that they asked did not only report that they asked. That he did not report that they asked does not mean that when he taught them, they did not ask. He just started saying. I hope that it is clear. Wa taba'ahu Abdul Wahid. Abdul Wahid ibn Ziyad reported it the same way Sulaiman ibn Ayyan reported it. Likewise, Yazid ibn Harun reported it the way Sulaiman ibn Hayyan reported it. That is, without that addition of ma, what would I say? Yani kayfa akulu idha sallaytu? How will I? What will I ask for when I make dua? So it did not say they ask. So that it did not say they ask does not mean that they do not ask. This is from the aspects of ziyada that is accepted from thikot, and it does not contradict anything in the matin of the hadith. The point is that the companions used to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam early in the morning after adhkar, duha, and all of these, and they will be asking him questions sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the things they asked or from the things he taught them was that they should say that dua: Allahumma ghafirli warhamni wahdini warzuqni. Allahumma ghafirli warhamni wahdini warzuqni. Walla forgive me. Walla show me your mercy. Wahdini. Walla guide me. Warzuqni. Walla provide for me. These were things that he regularly begged Allah for. Once you have these things, there is nobody who has a place to be able to oppress you or treat you unjustly. May Allah protect all of us against aggressors and those who treat people unjustly. I think we will suffice here, bismillah, with this chapter. Bismillah, the next chapter we'll be looking at is man da'a bitul al-umr, the one who is asking Allah for long life. Is it lawful to say, Allah, give me long life? Bismillah, this is what we'll be looking at in the subsequent class. Abu Abdurrahman. Ameen wa iyyakum.
The first question I have is, may Allah reward you abundantly.
Ameen wa iyyakum.
What of the person who is troubling us because of the deen, if it's our father, mother, sisters, and the likes? Won't it be as if we are supplicating against them?
Firstly, dua generally said is different from dua specifically mentioned. This dua is general. You will see that there is no name there. It's not naming anybody to say so and so person, Allah, deal with him. So and so person, Allah, destroy him. No, it's just a general dua, very general, whether the person is known to you or unknown to you. But if you have a relative that you know, this person, he hates me because of my religion and I want him to be upon what I am, then you become specific with your dua. Oh Allah, help me to guide so and so person. The Prophet had duas like that too. People he deliberately prayed for who were his enemies, and Allah brought them to Islam. So if you want to be specific, you can be specific. Oh Allah, this is my sister. Oh Allah, this is my brother. Guide him to Islam. He hates Islam. That does not stop the general case, because you may go out there, even kuffar will oppress you. Even munafikun will oppress you. Even mushrikun will oppress you. Even the people of bid'ah will oppress you. The general dua will be for them. As for the specifics, the choice is yours. You determine how you handle your relatives and other people who oppress you because of your religion. But if you don't handle them specifically, they too, they may come under that general dua. So if you want them to be specifically exempted, be specific. Allah, help me exempt this my brother, this my uncle, this my sister. He oppresses me, but forgive him. Make him understand. In fact, it may be between a husband and a wife. This my wife, or this my husband, as the case may be. It may be father and child. This my father, oh, this my daughter, oh, this my son, as the case may be. be specific. Allah guide him, Allah help him, Allah bring him into Islam, Allah make him understand. That is specific. But as for general, the general is there. One sunnah ala man adana. Those man, this is siga from the expressions of generality. Man adana. So I think the both cases are separate. The general dua is there for general. The specific dua are there. So if you have people you intend specifically, you don't want them to come under this, then be specific for them. Allah will exempt them and answer your dua that you say for them, despite the fact that they oppress you. I hope that it is clear. There's a question here. If about singling out Friday for fasting, if the individual, he said, regarding prohibition of singling Friday for fasting, that one need to fast a day before or a day after, that is Saturday, to make Friday fasting permissible. How do we justify it with the prohibition of fasting on Saturday, except for obligatory fast? It's simple. One of our scholars, Sheikh Mashur Hassan Al-Salman, he explained it. So if you don't know before, like Juwairiyah did not know, radiallahu anhu, Juwairiyah did not know that she needed to fast on Thursday or a day after. I mean, she did not know that she needed to not single out Friday for fasting. So if you don't know before, for you to get out of the sin of singling out Friday for fasting, which is supererogatory, it becomes compulsory for you to fast on Saturday. So in that case, that fasting on Saturday is not supererogatory again. It is what? Compulsory. Why? You need to fast it to move out of a sin. What is the sin? Singling out Friday for fasting. Is this clear? If you don't know the ruling before, but if you know the ruling, then don't do it. If you know the ruling that it is not lawful to fast on Friday alone, then don't do it. Because that should not make you fast on Saturday. You all now know. But in the case of Juwairiyah, she did not know. For her, it will be compulsory to fast on Saturday. Why? That is what she needs necessarily to go out of a sin. What is the sin? Singling out Friday to fast. Must she go out of the sin? Yes. So what will she do? She must fast on a Saturday. So that is different from somebody who already knows that fasting on Saturday is prohibited, unless it's a compulsory fast. It's a simple real matter, reasoning. But I just hope that it is clear. If it is not clear, ask again. I will explain again, inshallah. Abdurrahman.
Similar to that, sir.
Yeah.
He said, Al-Imam ibn Rajab.
Yeah. Abdurrahman, I have stopped hearing. I can't hear you.
Yeah. Force on 9 and 10. This night and day, first on Friday and Saturday, knowing that it is prohibited to fast on Saturday. Can we fast it since it has no other day? And some Salah did.
Brother, if the fasting is on Saturday and that fasting is not compulsory, don't fast on Saturday. If the fast is on Saturday and it is not compulsory, don't fast on Saturday. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned all of us, la tasumu yawm as-sabti illa fi maftuid alaykum. Do not fast on the Saturday except a fasting that is made compulsory on you. Ashura, Tasu'a, and all of these, the fasting in Muharram, it is not compulsory. And you know the ruling now. So don't fast on Saturday illa fi maftuid alaykum. During the Eid, Ayamu Tashriq, some Ayamu Tashriq came on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. It came on, Monday, 13th, 14th, 15th. Is that? Was it 11, 12, 13th? I think it came on Thursdays, a Monday came, something like this. One of the days of Ayamu Tashriq. In this last Eid al-Kabir, we were in Makkah. I was reading people saying, don't fast on Ayyam al-Tashriq if it comes on a Saturday. Don't fast, no, if it comes on Monday, don't fast on a Monday. We had Eid on Saturday. We had Eid on Friday. We had Eid on Friday. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday was the 13th. I saw notices, don't fast on that Monday. Don't fast on that Monday because it is from Ayyam al-Tashriq. And we have been prohibited from fasting on Ayyam al-Tashriq. I was smiling. I said, why are you not fasting? You can say the same way you want to say now. I am not fasting because it is from Ayyam al-Tashriq. I am fasting because it is a Monday. Because now when we say don't fast on Saturday, they say, no, I'm not fasting because it is Saturday. I'm fasting because it is Ashura. Taib. Why didn't you fast on Ayyam al-Tashriq or Yawm al-Tashriq that came on a Monday? He said, no, there's a prohibition, so don't fast. The same thing, there's a prohibition. Don't fast on a Saturday. Don't fast on a Saturday if the fasting is not compulsory. The same way you would not fast on a Monday on Ayyam al-Tashriq. Don't forget, that's even for those of us at home. If you have somebody at Hajj who misses, who was not able to pay for the ram and slaughter his ram, he has fastings to make. So ikhwa, fasting on a Saturday is prohibited unless that fasting is compulsory. That hadith is sahih. It occurs in the Sunan of Abi Dawud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا في مفترض عليكم. I hope that that is clear about Abdurrahman. The time is far spent, but I can take one more expression from you. I think it's also necessary to say, because of time, yesterday we were talking about our brother who passed away, Abu Sufyan al-Almari. And by the time it was evening, we'd heard another very important figure in the community of Muslims across the world, and more so in our country, who passed away. That was Al-Haji Aminu Dantata. Aminu Dantata passed away yesterday. He was a very prominent person amongst the people of Islam. Rahimahullah. May Allah forgive him. I know two from amongst his children directly since a long time. They are people of serious deen. They are people of good deen. Islam, it's penetrated in their religion, in their home. Deen. They were really serious upon the deen, and they were very open-handed. Those ones that I knew amongst his children, they were directly, I didn't know them through an intermediary, directly we had dealings. They were very, very serious people of religion. They spoke Arabic well. One of them, we had the same teacher. We learned from, she learned a lot. She learned and took a lot in the science of hadith in the north at the time. She's very learned. She memorized a lot of Quran. She speaks Arabic well. All the lessons we were having at that time were on Arabic. We are in Arabic on the science of hadith. So this is seriousness. And they say a lot of good things, how their parents encouraged them. This one especially, her father encouraging her to start a madrasa. She has a madrasa by herself that she's controlling. People are learning, boys, young girls. They are learning in the madrasa. And the encouragement from their father who has now passed away. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive this man. Ikhwa, what we will use to say good of you is your religion, your deen. Not necessarily how much money you have. But what will be more beneficial to you is your deen. If you now have money with it, with which you supported your deen, then that's two good things. But just about money, didn't you hear that dua? وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرُ هَمِّنَا. Don't make us people who all that matters to us is what? Money. Some people, all that matters to them is money. How much? No. What matters is deen. If money now comes with it, we like it. But that money without deen, we don't want that one. Oh Allah. We want the two, money and deen. deen first, then money. We beg Allah to forgive this man. He was a person of deen as much as I have never heard any negative thing. And I was a bit close to them. I never heard any negative thing about them. Always deen, trying to help one person, trying to do one good thing, trying to help somebody. This one that I said, she has a water factory too. What does she want to do? You want to do soda kwajaria, you want to distribute water to people, just tell me, we'll take the water there. Providing water to communities. It was an initiative she had, and they spent a lot of money on it. If community needing water, just tell us, we'll bring them water. These are things that his own children are doing. How about the ones that he did? And the deeds of your children are from your own good deeds too. So they are known for good religion. May Allah forgive this sheikh. He deserves to be called a sheikh Aminu Dantata because of age. He was very old. I think he died. He was over 90 when he died. May Allah forgive him. And it was said that he was begging the people, bury me in Medina, bury me in Medina. His children used to say that. Many of them stayed for long in Makkah, Medina. The ones that I knew, the two of them studied Arabic in Makkah, always keeping them to Haramain. That shows how much interest they have for the religion. Ikhwa, your money, use it to look for religion. He was buried in Medina. He was finally buried in Medina. And I'm sure it will be in Baqi. If we hear now, they will say perhaps he was buried in Baqi. There is virtue for all of these. Because those who are buried in Baqi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he guaranteed he will testify for them on the day of Qiyamah. There are a lot of benefits in being buried in Al-Madinah and in Al-Baqi especially. So a lot of virtue. Use your money to look for Al-Jannah. Ibtaghi fima ataka Allahu ad-dar al-akhirah. Of course, wa la tansa nasibaka min ad-dunya wa ahsin kama ahsana Allahu ilayk. Be useful and easy, beneficial to people the way Allah has shown you benefits. So if you are rich, my dear brother, be beneficial to people the way Allah has benefited you. If you have knowledge, be beneficial to people the way Allah has benefited. You have good ideas, you are brilliant, be beneficial. You know mathematics, physics, chemistry, be beneficial to people with it. It is not only money that we employ for sadaqah. Knowledge too is one of the biggest sadaqah. So the way we sit together now every morning, me, I'm doing my own sadaqah now. I hope that bismillah, one day you remember me and ask Allah to forgive me. If you ask me what's my motivation, I think about this every day, that I hope that someday, somehow, I will gain the dua of the people for all of these, not sleeping early in the morning or not doing any other thing early in the morning on the days that we have lessons, because they will matter. You to look for something that will matter after you and sit down with it. It is not the day you die or after you die, you start looking for what they will do with you or with your money. Start now. Look for something that you will be doing, that you will be hoping, inshallah, this one, I hope, inshallah, this one that I'm doing, I hope that Allah will accept it. I hope that it will be a means of goodness for me when I get into my grave finally, because that is what will matter. Oh, may Allah forgive both our brother, Ustaz Al-Almai, and the Sheikh Aminu Dantata, and the rest of our brothers who have passed away long ago, and those who just passed away, may Allah forgive them. Those of us who are still alive, may Allah forgive us, grant us ease on this dunya. Keep our feet firm upon Islam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. اللهم متعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا وقوتنا ما بقيتنا، واجعلها الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من أعدانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا، ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا إلى النار مصيرنا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. عباد الرحمن،
جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخ.
آمين آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.